You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with Gareth Topham, John Budden and James Millman in the studio. Good day of racing to look forward to at Sandown, where the Imperial Cup is their feature race. We've also got good racing on the all-weather at Wolverhampton, jumping from Aaron Hereford alongside that as well. And evening action on the poly track at Chelmsford City. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Sean Quinn. How are you, Quinnie?
I'm all right, Mark. How are you?
Good, good, very good.
I can't wait for this week to be over, though, Mark.
Yeah. I don't want to wish my life away, but I agree with you entirely.
No. Well, for as good as next week is going to be, this week's just not been good.
Saturday's okay, to be fair.
Saturday's okay, yeah.
Sandown's not too bad. There's always a good mare's bumper on there, and the Imperial Cup, of course, which is always a good one.
Exactly, and we've got the EBF final as well, which we're going to touch on in a few minutes' time. And as you touched on there at the top of the piece, we've got a good all-weather card at Wolverhampton. We're going to cover a listed race from the track, but they've also got the Lincoln Trial, which is a 50 grand handicap. 13 runners go to post, and I think it's a really tight race this year.
Yeah, do you have an opinion there, just to throw it out before
Do I have an opinion there? No, but
apart
I thought
it's a tight race.
I thought Top Notch Tonto is interested in making his seasonal reappearance so early. Mm. He's now rated 105.
He's fallen a long way, hasn't he?
He mightn't win tomorrow, but he could shape okay in the Lincoln.
Formerly quite useful, wasn't he? Group performer in the past.
He's been second in a QE2 on bottomless ground. If we got a soft ground Lincoln, which we tend to get, he might be a player.
Yeah, keep an eye on that then over the weekend. As Sean mentions, we're going to look at some of the racing at Sandown and Wolverhampton in a moment or two. Before we get to that, though, a bit of news ahead of the Cheltenham Festival. 3 days to go as of Saturday. And one horse that won't be turning up anymore is Don Polly, who has picked up an injury and will no longer take part in the Gold Cup, Sean.
No, a huge shame, Mark. When I first read the news, I thought, well, it's only Don Polly. But actually, when you go and look at his record, I've got his profile up in front of us. He's been rejuvenated in his last two starts, seemingly. Narrowly beaten in the Lexus at Christmas, splitting Outlander and Jack Adam.
Yep.
He was third in the Irish Gold Cup at Leopardstown latterly.
Mm.
He's only run three times for Gordon Elliott. He looks back to his best form that he showed for William Mullins. Then you tie into that the fact he's been to Cheltenham three times. On one occasion, he's won the Martin Pipe Handicap Hurdle.
Yep.
Then he came back the following year, won the RSA. And last year, he was third in the Gold Cup. That's not too shabby.
Not at all.
Some people call him Don Slowly, which I think is most unkind. He's not Don Slowly. He's a lazy horse, which I think some people mistake with him being slow, but you don't get slow grade one horses, and certainly you don't win a Martin Pipe at the festival over 2.5 miles, Mark, if you're slow.
No.
I think he does race lazily, that's true, but you'd have to think in an open Gold Cup, which this year's one certainly is, he'd have had a squeak of hitting the frame, and he is only an 8-year-old. He seems to have been round forever.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah.
But he's only an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
He's not old as staying chasers go.
No.
He's a loss to the race.
He is. He was about 16-1 chance. You could say there's worse each way bets in the race than that, couldn't you, beforehand? It's been a Gold Cup this year where we've lost several names along the way, but
oh man,
still looking. It doesn't look too bad, to be fair.
It doesn't. We're greedy as racing fans. We always want more, but you think we're missing Don Polly. We're missing the ill-fated Votor. We're missing Coney Gree. We're missing last year's winner, Don Cossack, and we're missing potentially the best of them all, Thistlecrack. It is half the race. It was going to be.
Yeah, I suppose. Colin Tizard still has a strong hold in the race. Q-Card and Native River, 3-1 joint favourites. Jack Adam, 4-1. 8-1 Outlander. Sizing John, 8-1 as well. 12-1 Empire of Dirt. Champagne West, 14s with more of that. 16-1 Vroom Vroom Mag and 20-1 Bar Those. Do you have a strong view in the Gold Cup as it stands then?
Yeah, his price has contracted as a result of positive reports over the last fortnight. But Jack Adam,
yeah,
it's been second in the last two renewals. And I just think he might have a little bit too much up his sleeve. He's been trained with the racing mind. He hasn't run since Christmas.
Yeah.
William Mullins is going to have him absolutely ready to run for his life. And, of course, he's a horse who ran in the Gold Cup for the first time 2 years ago as a very young horse.
Yeah.
And an inexperienced horse. He'll do for me. 4-1 is tight now. You know, he was 11-2 with us only a week ago.
Yeah.
But both William Mullins and Harold Kirk came out and said they fancied him quite strongly. And punters have taken heed.
Had a real troubled passage to the race last year, didn't he? And still finished second.
Exactly.
So,
did he come into it on the back of a fall? Yeah, he did. Yeah, he fell in the trial race at Cheltenham, didn't he? Is it the Cotswold Chase?
Yeah. Fair enough. I suppose while we're on the subject of Cheltenham, it would be remiss of me not to ask for your best bet of the week and the next best.
Best bet of the week. Well, at this stage, I suppose it's hard to get too stuck into the handicaps.
Yeah.
When I'm at Cheltenham myself, I tend to focus in on the handicaps. If I'm going to have a bet, I'd rather have a bet in the handicaps. But you're going to get the same price and even better value on the day. I'm sure we at William Hill will be pushing offers.
We do have happy hour every day at the Cheltenham Festival, yeah.
Exactly. So maybe get involved in the happy hour with the handicaps. So I won't put up a best bet in the handicaps. What about a straight up treble? I'm not going to give one for a handicap. Straight up treble. Altior Duvan. You know what I mean, Harry. It's going to pay what, 3-1, 4-1, or something.
Should we find out what does it pay?
Let's have a little look.
Altior Duvan, and you've really thought outside the box with those two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're all very, very short, but they are all bomb proof.
Yeah. Altior Duvan. What was the third one?
You know what I mean, Harry. What's it going to pay us? All right, it's going to pay us 2.6-1. 5-2, that'll do.
All right.
I'm not being brave. But as I say, there'll be handicap fancies. I'm in on the TV on Tuesday, and I'll try and pluck out a few big ones in the handicaps. I like to have a go at them. But you like to see what the ground is, what the jockey bookings are, particularly with some of the bigger owners, bigger trainers who have top stable jockeys attached to them. You like to see what they're riding.
Yeah.
Before you get too involved.
Fair enough. That's not too bad. Ground, by the way, for this year's festival, it's gonna be good, isn't it? Pretty much.
It's drying all the time, Mark. It's drying all the time, and it's going to be really nice racing ground. You feel come the first day, which is what you want to see these horses running on, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to.
There are no excuses on it, are there?
No, I suppose not. No.
But yet it's safe. You don't really want bottomless ground.
No. Unless you're an Imperial Commander or something in the past, and then you're praying for bottomless ground. Fair enough. By the way, if it is good ground, what do you think that does to the chances of Native River in the Gold Cup? Because he's kind of I don't want to say a mudlap, but he likes a bit of digging the ground, doesn't he?
Yeah, I was chatting with my old man about this, and he said, I'd be worried if the ground dried for that Native River, because I think he fancies Native River to run well in the Gold Cup. But he did go to Aintree last year and was oh so impressive when he won at the Grand National meeting in Grade 1 company. That was decent ground. It's certainly drier ground than what he'll meet with next week. So, based on that evidence, I wouldn't be too worried.
Fair enough. We will, of course, have more Cheltenham chat as these podcasts get closer to the Cheltenham Festival, 3 days from Saturday. We'll build up to that massively over the next few days, as you would expect. But right now we're going to focus on Saturday's action, because we do have good racing to look forward to on Saturday at Sandown and even Wolverhampton as well. So we'll get Sean's thoughts on the back of this.
The Cheltenham Festival is coming on William Hill's Racing Radio. We'll have build-up live every day of the festival from noon with our experts at Prestbury Park, including Sir Anthony McCoy, Jim McGrath, Andrew Thornton and Rebecca Curtis, plus full coverage of all 4 days of the festival, as well as tips and the call on every other UK race meeting. The Cheltenham Festival 2017 on William Hill's Racing Radio.
It's getting closer. Cannot wait for the action at Cheltenham. Kicks off on Tuesday, of course. Let's focus on Saturday, though. Sandown is where we're going to start. We start in the 150 there, which is the EBF National Hunt Novices Handicap Hurdle Final, a Grade 3 event. And what do you make of this, Sean? Always competitive, plenty with chances.
It's always competitive. It's always a really good race as well, isn't it? Not just with regards to the winner of the race, but We've seen the likes of many clouds finish placed in the race in the past. It's a key pointer to National Hunt bred horses with huge futures whose trainers don't necessarily feel they're ready for the rigours of the Cheltenham Festival the following week. There'll likely be a few Cheltenham horses for the future in here. Looking down the roll of honour, I mean, probably the best horse to have won it over the last 10 years is Alberta's Run in 2007. We all know what he went on to do. We won a couple of Ryanair chases as well as enjoying huge successes at the Grand National meeting. But there have been some very good horses beaten in this, so do keep an eye on it. The horse that stands out to me at the prices, because we do have it priced up, which is great.
We do.
Is Manella Awards, who I think is a 9-1 shot with us.
Yep, second favourite. Well, yeah. Co-second favourite for three, in fact. Yeah. I'll go through the betting. Full Irish 7-1. Manella Awards, Cash Again and Lithic are all 9-1. It's 10-1 for Gateway. Man from Mars, 10-1. 11-1 at Tintern Theatre. 14-1 for a whole host of runners. And the Mighty Don, another venture. Prime Venture and Ramses de Tele. And 16-1 by those, I think that's how you say it. And
we'll go with that.
Yeah. Talk us through your thoughts on Manella Awards. And...
Yeah, this horse, I think he's been kept with this race in mind. He's had three starts over hurdles. They've been spaced over quite a period. He made his first start at Newbury back in November of 2015. He then ran in February last year. He ran a stinker and was off until January of this year. When he ran at Newbury in a novice hurdle, he was just beaten by Champers on Ice, who's a very high-class horse for David Pipe.
Yep.
He was then sent off favourite for the Sydney Banks novices hurdle at Huntingdon. He was a 13-8 favourite. He finished 5th of 6th, beaten 19 lengths. I'm guessing he wasn't quite right after that because he didn't run again until January, so he's off for 11 months.
Yeah.
But he made a really pleasing comeback 68 days ago to finish 2nd behind a very nice horse of Philip Hobbs's in No Comment. A horse who's enjoyed a good winter, and he was given an opening mark of 128. He hasn't been seen since then. I'm assuming that's because Harry Fry wanted to protect that mark of 128 for something worth bagging. Now, yep. This race, definitely worth bagging. Good prize money, and the Fry team are rocking and rolling nicely as we approach Cheltenham.
Mm. Manella Awards then at 9-1 in the opening race. We look at the 150 at Sandown. The big race on the card at Sandown on Saturday is the 3 o'clock. It's the Imperial Cup Handicap Hurdle, a Grade 3 event over 2 miles. Just a little caveat to mention before we get stuck into this race as well. If you go to William Hill or you go on williamhill.com and you have £20 bet in the Imperial Cup, you get a £10 free bet to spend at the Cheltenham Festival. So, in theory,
it's a no-brainer.
If you get the winner of the Imperial Cup, you're already quids in, and then you've got a £10 free bet for Cheltenham as
so
well.
So win, lose or draw, you're going to get a £10 free bet.
Yep.
It is a no-brainer.
It is.
I like that offer.
Good.
Free money.
The market looks like this for the race. Fixler Cap is 5-1. It's 13-2, William H. Bonney. Gas in Golf is 8-1. 8-1 for Max de Brazil. London Prize, 15-2. 8-1 for Not Another Muddle, who was 9s out to 10s, now back into 8s. So the market can't quite decide what to do with that one. 10-1, KF Blanco, and 12-1 or bigger for the rest. The Imperial Cup is quite tricky in the past. 5-1 the field this time around as well. But there's value in there if you can find it.
Uproar in today's paper, Mark. This is the first time we've ever seen, or first time in recent history, we've seen an Imperial Cup with only 13 runners. This race normally fills... Certainly, we normally get the 16 runners anyway, where punters get each way 1, 2, 3, 4. It's one of the big handicaps of the year, and we've only got 13. Now, that is a real pity. And we'll probably leave some of the head honchos at Sandown maybe scratching their head, maybe having to look to boost the prize money. It's short of £40,000 to the winner. That is the way to draw the big horses. For these big Saturday races, make the pot big enough and... I don't think it is.
Yeah. Does the enhancement, the bonus, still apply to the Imperial Cup?
It does still apply, but it's so hard to win, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And I think if most trainers these days, Cheltenham has become the be-all and end-all, more so than 10, 15 years ago. Mm. If you've got a horse you fancy for the county hurdle, I don't think you're going to run in the Imperial Cup, are you? Because you're going to want to get it to Cheltenham 6 days later in peak condition. So I think the bonus has become less appealing. I like one here.
Okay.
I like London Prize. He's 8-1 with us at William Hill. This horse, unfortunately, came to grief at an early stage in a valuable contest up at Musselburgh in the early part of February, but proved his well-being 10 days later with a run on the flat at Newcastle. He finished second in a really, really good staying event at Newcastle behind Natural Scenery, who's a fast-improving horse for Saeed Bin Saroor.
Yep.
He had several good horses in behind him. The likes of Hot Beat was third. I think Master Paver, a very solid all-weather horse, was fourth or fifth. The race has a he was fourth. The race has a really strong look to it. The sixth horse, Zakatal, has come out and won. Now, I know that's flat form. We're looking at a jumps race here, but it's confirmed his well-being. He's a novice. He's very unexposed. He's had no chance to prove his mark is fair or unfair because he fell so early at Musselburgh. 1-8 to me looks to be a very fair mark. His price of 8-1 looks to be quite fair. The one slight worry, Mark, would be that the ground will be soft at Sandown. He's just unproven on the going. He might well go through it and go through it very well, but he is a flatbred horse, and that can sometimes find them out.
Taking a bit of a chance then. A decent odds on London Prize in the Imperial Cup. The final race we look at Sandown is the 3:35, and this is a mare's bumper, traditionally quite a good mare's bumper as well. The market headed by Cap Soleil, who's 9-4. 3-1 Red Hot Filly Peppers. Petticoat Tails is 9-2. 6-1 Martello Park. It's 11-1 for Just a Thought. 14-1 What's the Jazz, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Some nice mares in here.
There are. I think it's very, very tricky to get involved because we're seeing mares bring bits of bumper form from weak contests. They probably haven't been that strong in terms of the strength and depth, and the best of them are pitched in. This is the first time we get to see them all in the melting pot and differentiate between them, so to speak. But Red Hot Filly Peppers is a horse who has definitely caught my eye. She won a point-to-point last year, and then over the Christmas period at Punchestown, she won a bumper-beating Lady Sings the Blues. She comes over from Willie Mullins Yard. David Dunsden, the owner, takes the ride. I think she is one of the most interesting, along with Cap Soleil, who beat Daphne Duclos in a Cheltenham bumper on New Year's Day. Now, Daphne Duclos has subsequently come out and won at Newbury. She was strongly fancied for the Cheltenham bumper next week. She's not running connections, feel she's too inexperienced. But Cap Soleil has rock-solid form for Fergal O'Brien. Petticoat Tails improved from her first run, a win at Wetherby, to her second at Huntingdon to win with a penalty last time out. You couldn't rule her out. Yeah, you couldn't rule any of them out entirely. I'll just go with Red Hot Filly Peppers, but it would be the least confident of my Sandown selections.
Okay. Great name as well, Red Hot Filly Peppers.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
It shows how competitive the race is, by the way. 8 of the 10 in the lineup won their last race.
Yeah.
Which you don't see all that often.
You look at the likes of Just a Thought. She might only have won a Fosslass and a Hereford bumper, but I love her attitude, and she could still be improving, and she's a double-figure price.
Mm. Very good. Final race we look at is at Wolverhampton, and we finish off on their all-weather tapper to surface with a good race, 3:15. It's the Lady Wulfruna Stakes, which is a listed race over a 7-furlong trip. And the market looks like this at the time of recording. Keystroke is 7-2, shortened up from 4-1 as well at the top of the market. 4-1 for Yufton, 5-1 My Target. Elta's Arm is 8-1, 9-1 for Realize, 11-1 Nadir, 12-1 Swift Approval, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the rest. Not only is it a listed race, it's an all-weather championship fast-track qualifier as well, isn't it? So you get good horses turn up here that will hope to be back out again on Good Friday, or trainers would hope.
Indeed.
So.
And Keystroke is becoming something of a standing dish at this fixture. He actually won the Lincoln Trial on this same card last year.
Yeah.
He was entered in the Lincoln Trial as well. Connections have opted to go for this listed contest, and he comes into the race on the back of a very convincing win over this trip of 7 furlongs at Kempton last time out. He is the one they're going to have to go some to beat, I feel, like Keystroke. But in behind him, you've got some very good horses with different profiles. You've got the likes of My Target, who's done nothing but improve for Michael Wigham this winter. He won in December at Lingfield off 89. He's now rated 107 after racking up four wins from four starts. He's a 5-1 shot at the time recording. Yufton represents Roger Charlton. This horse won a huge handicap on Champions Day at Ascot, won 156 grand to himself, beat Remarkable in a 19-runner race. He's got to prove himself as good on an artificial surface. We'll soon find out if he is. Eltazam, high-class two-year-old. He was an impressive winner of a Haydock Maiden. He was sent off 12-1 for the Coventry Stakes at Royal Ascot. He finished third. He was sent off co-favourite for the July Stakes at Newmarket, finished fourth behind none other than Shalar. He's been off for 611 days subsequently, but interesting connections have kept him in training.
Yeah.
He could be anything. He might prove to be the fly in the ointment. Realises solid in these contests. Then you've got the likes of Amazor. Salatine has been doing well out in Dubai. This is a really, really good listed contest. I'm going to side with Keystroke. I think he's the most solid in the race. He's looked better than ever this winter, arguably. He beat Intransigent in that Kempton handicap very impressively last time out. And he'll do for me with Adam Kirby taking the ride again. Eltazam, as I said, he might prove to be the fly in the ointment. On his two-year-old form, he could be well up to winning a listed race.
It's one of those, isn't it? When you see connections with all the, with this kind of money, it's the same when you see a Godolphin horse that's kept in training as a four-year-old, haven't been seen since two.
Yeah.
They obviously think there's something still there, don't they?
Well, in the bigger picture, Eltazam is only rated 100. Now, you and I would kill to own a horse rated 100, Mark. They can prove to be good money spinners, but Al Shakab Racing are probably looking for Group 1 colts and fillies to make stallions and broodmares.
Yeah.
They don't need a 100 rated horse unless they can prove themselves to go through the ranks and maybe get to a higher level. Mm. Eltazam could just do that.
Okay, but Keystroke on the day then on Saturday in the good race there at Wolverhampton. Quick summary before you go, Sean, as usual.
No problem.
Quick summary of your selections then for Saturday.
The 150 at Sandown, the EBF final, I'm going to side with Manella Awards, 9-1 with William Hill when we record this. Then we go to Sandown's 3 o'clock, the Imperial Cup, like an 8-1 shot London prize. Sandown's 3:35 is the Fillies and Mares bumper. I'm going to go with Red Hot Filly Peppers, but I'm not confident. I think it's a wide open race and I'd be playing it to small stakes myself. And then the 3:15 at Wolverhampton, the listed race, a cracking listed race. I'm going to stick with Keystroke and keep my eye on Eltazam.
Superb. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10 p.m. with Gareth Topham, John Budden and James Millman in the studio. We've got these two meetings, Sandown and Wolverhampton, accompanied by Aaron Hereford in the afternoon and all other action to take us through the evening as well at Chelmsford City. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.